Welcome to the Messy Walk Podcast with Pastor Adam Cook, where our goal is to have a genuine and authentic conversation about the Christian faith journey and what a messy walk with Jesus really looks like. Make sure to follow us for future episodes that will be posted regularly each Wednesday. We hope you enjoy this episode.
Hey, welcome to the Messy Walk Podcast. I'm your host, Steph, here at Pastor Adam.
Hello, everybody. Glad to be here.
I'm glad to be here as well. We are ending this series today.
This is the last question in any questions, thank God.
Yes.
I mean, it's been fine. It's been good. Nothing been wrong with it.
Yeah.
But I think when we started answering the question about work with Charlene and we went off of five, that's when I got tired of it, I think. So,
because it's like we're just continuing to ask and ask and ask.
So anyway, we're done now. This is the last question one, and then we'll kick off a new series starting with next episode, 217, that we have no idea about. Yet. We don't know what we're doing.
I love that we tell y'all that.
Yeah. We just have to just be honest.
It's just true.
We just don't know. We have lots of stuff.
But that's how it works.
You know, we have a document that has all kinds of ideas on it that have come up over the years and stuff. And some of them hang on there a long time and some of them don't. And then some of them are new and fresh that pop up. They'll take the place of one idea that we thought we would do and we don't. But we don't have a plan for the next series. So we're still working on that and praying on that and seeking God on that.
Yes.
But right now we're going to do 216 and knock this last question out so we can go eat dinner.
Let's freaking go.
Let's go. All right. What's the question, Steph? Last one.
216.
I got to figure out who wrote this one too. Hold on. Let me see if I got that thing pulled up.
Well, I'll ask the question while you're looking it up. The question is, what does God mean by the testing scripture in Malachi about the tithe?
Okay. This is from James Aharon.
Well, thank you, James.
Thank you, James. We appreciate your question. All right, what does God mean by this scripture in Malachi that he refers to testing him, and it's referring to the tithe, all right? People talk about and question God on the tithe in the scripture all the time, right?
Yeah.
So these are questions we receive in church constantly. And before we jump into this, yes, Malachi is an Old Testament scripture, right? It is right before, when you read the book of Malachi, after Malachi, there is several hundred years of silence. And the next time God speaks, excuse me, he doesn't do it in words. He does it in action, and Jesus pops up on the scene. So, yes, this is another Old Testament reference to the tithe. However, if you look in the New Testament, you will see that Jesus talks about the tithe as well. And when you go back, it's not just that the tithe is part of the law and Jesus fulfills the law. The tithe was around before the law, by the way, right? So the tithe is something as a professing Christian who wants to be biblically appropriate, I believe is something that is biblically appropriate, right? And a calling on the life of the Christian. Now, it does not seal your faith. It doesn't matter. It doesn't. Well, if you don't tithe, it's not like you can't be saved, can't be a Christian, but it is part of following God's plan for our life and what he wants of us, and tithing is part of discipleship, right? It's actually a big piece because Jesus talks about the fact that the number one competitor for our hearts is our money. And so by tithing, we are declaring that God is the source of our security, that he's the source of our income, and that he can do way more with you know, what we have than we can, right? And it's all his, right? The tithe is a declaration that we're just stewards and managers of it. So let's go to this scripture because it's a really, really good one about the tithe in Malachi. So in the Bible, there are examples of acceptable and unacceptable kinds of testing of God, all right? This reference in Malachi is really unique, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
But there are times in the Bible, because what people will say is, well, Malachi says that God says to test him in a tithe. We'll read it in a minute. But other parts in the Bible, God says, don't test me. And so I don't understand what this means, which is probably the impetus of this question. And so there are certain places in the Bible where you see it's acceptable to test God, and there are certain places where it's not. For example, this is the one that you get where it's acceptable to test God in regard to tithes and offerings, but not when the testing is rooted in some sort of doubt of who God is, right? See, the tithe reference in the testing of God that you'll see in Malachi is not rooted in doubt. It's rooted in trust and faith. Mm-hmm. All the rest of the places in Scripture where you see you're not supposed to test God is because that testing is rooted in the doubt of who God is. So Malachi 3:10, here we go. Here is that Scripture.
Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it.
Great verse.
Love it.
God is saying, bring the tithe into the whole tithe, which means he's referring to the first 10%, not just 10%, the first 10%. Did you know that? So 10% of your income is not a tithe. The first 10% is the tithe. Anyway,
good point.
Bring that into the storehouse. The storehouse is a reference in the Old Testament to God's house and how God handles and loves and cares for people. So in the New Testament and in the world we live in, the storehouse is the church, right? So bring it in and test me in this. It's like, do it, test me in this and see if I don't open the floodgates of heaven, right? See if I don't bless you in ways that you can't even contain, yeah, is what he's saying. This is the only situation given in the Bible in which God tells his people to, quote-unquote, test him. The Hebrew word used for test in this verse is unique. It's not like this in anywhere else in the Bible. It's bachan, and it means to examine, scrutinize, or prove. In other words, like you would test gold or a precious metal. Like it, to figure out the purity of gold, you would test it, right? And so you would have to put it in fire, and so that would end up testing its purity, right? And so it's not like a doubt that the gold's good. It's seeing how good it actually is. Does that make sense? So there's belief that this is gold. Let me see how good this gold is, right? I know it's good. Let me see how good it is. Mm-hmm. That's what this word means, and it's different than everywhere else in the Scripture. So what Malachi means is that God is inviting his people, in this case, the nation of Israel, right? Which we know in our time, that would mean God's family, God's people, which are those who follow Jesus, invites his people to test him in tithes and offerings and see that he proves that his faithfulness and his goodness is there, right? So it's like, I know God's good. God says, you know I'm good. You've got faith in me. You test me in this and I'll show you how good I really am, right? And so it's out of a faith response. Everywhere else in Scripture, there's another Hebrew word used for the word test, and it's nasa. And nasa means to put it to test, to try, or to tempt. This is where you get this word being used, that you can understand it. In Deuteronomy 6:16, this is where God commands Israel not to test him. Read that verse real quick, Steph. This is that word.
Do not put the Lord your God to the test as you did at Massa.
Yeah, so what happened is the people of Israel are in exile, and they are constantly bickering, quarreling, and trying to test God, right? If God's good, he'll do this. If God's good, he'll do that. But they're doing it out of a point of doubt, and that's why he references Massa. And so that word means to try, to test, or to tempt. So the unacceptable kind of testing is when doubt leads us to demand something from God so that he can prove to himself that he's good, right? It's the same kind of way if you're like, well, if God's good, then he'll do this. And I'm not going to do nothing until he does this. That's that word testing where God says, don't be doing that. Don't be making me prove my goodness to you out of doubt. You doubt that I'm good, so you're trying to get me to prove that I'm good. What he's looking for is faith, where we believe and trust in him that he's good. And when we do that with our tithes and offerings, he tells us to test him in that, and he'll show you extra how good he is, right? Like yeah. You would check out silver or gold. So the only time you see that word used that way is for this, is for the tithe and the offering. Every other place, it's God condemning and saying, don't test me. And so that Deuteronomy 6:16 scripture is him saying, don't test me like that. Don't come from a position of doubt trying to get me to prove that I'm good, trying to get me to prove my goodness or my faithfulness. Jesus quotes that verse from Deuteronomy when he's tempted by Satan in the wilderness. Jesus actually brings it up and quotes it back to the devil. Steph, read that real quick. Matthew 4:5-7.
Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. If you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Jesus answered him, it is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test.
He just quoted the exact same verse, right?
Yeah.
So what the enemy was trying to get him to do, the enemy was trying to get him to do this, throw himself off, which then would make God intervene and prove that God is good, that God means what he says, right? It's from a position of doubt. And you see Jesus reaffirming once again, don't be testing God like that, right? That's what makes it different. So when you see that whole testing thing, it's not in conflict to what's happening in Malachi with the tithes and offerings. It's completely different. The devil's trying to get Jesus to prove God's word was true by forcing God's hand. And so Jesus refuses to do that, to treat God in that way, right? Because it would be coming from a form of doubt and not a form of faith or trust. And so what we're saying is we don't manipulate situations in an attempt to coerce God into fulfilling his promises, right? So if you read Malachi and you go, well, I want to see if God's good. I'm going to test him in this with this position of I don't believe he's good. I'm lacking faith. I don't have doubt. Then you would be doing the opposite of what he's telling you to do in that verse. You would be sort of coercing God into showing you that he's good instead of believing that he's good. And then he says, I'm going to show you that I'm really good, right? I'm going to show you even better. You know that I'm gold. I'm going to show you how perfect gold I am, right? Versus trying to manipulate. We don't want to, the whole don't test God is coming from a don't manipulate him into having to prove himself to you. He don't have nothing to prove to you, right? Mm-hmm. And that verse in Malachi is not him saying, you know, you doubt me, I'm going to prove to you who I am. He's saying, you believe and trust me, and I will show you even more of how good and gracious and faithful I really am. There's lots of examples of this in Scripture. Most of them are related to, like in Exodus and Deuteronomy that we read, where the Israelites are testing God, that like multiple ones in Massa that it talks about. All of them were questioning God's reliability because he wasn't meeting some expectation of them. That's where it came from. The difference between those kinds of testing is faith. The Israelites in Exodus, they tested God because they lacked faith in him. The Israelites in Malachi's day were invited to test God because they had faith in him. Right, that's the difference. And so what is God saying in this verse? He is saying, if you know that I'm good, if you have faith and you believe in me, I will show you even more how much you can have faith and believe in me by your tithe. If you come from a position of faith, right? So this is me part. This is how I've led my children. We believe that God is good. He is the source of everything that we have, and we believe in him more than anything. And to show ourselves that we believe in him more than anything, we're going to tithe like he tells us to, right? That shows me that I fully trust in God. I'm going to give him what he tells me that tells me to give. Matter of fact, I'm going to give more, right? And we've taught our kids this. Like it comes from a position of faith and belief in his goodness, right, and obedience to him. Not necessarily to, well, let's do this and see if he's really good. Instead, it's coming from a spot of we believe that he's good, and so we are going to graciously give him what is his, right? And then what he does is he just continues to show us how good and kind he really is. Not because he has to prove it, but because he's good enough to meet faith with faithfulness, right? That's what he does. That's what that verse is telling you. And so I've lived this out, right? And never once have I said, oh, we're going to tithe, we're going to test God and see if he's really good, if he's going to really open the floodgates of heaven. That's not what he means. We haven't done it that way. We've just kind of faithfully trusted him in this, and he has blessed me and my family, right? He has given us blessings that we can't contain in the storehouse, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we've taught our kids this. We've made our kids, not made, we've taught them how to handle their money from the time they were little. I think I've said this on a podcast before.
Yes, you have.
They all get jars
it's
when
great.
They're little. They
yeah.
all get jars. And there's three jars. There's a God jar, and we write 10% on the jar. We write God and 10% on the jar. Then they get a save jar, and we write save, and we write 10% on the jar. And the third jar, we write spend and 80%, right? And so every single allowance they get, we start off by teaching them, all right, 10% goes to God first. We teach them to do it first. And then you save next, right? Because God tells us to save. You should be prepared for famine, right? You should be prepared for feast. A wise man realizes that there's going to be droughts, right? And then also, you are wise with your money, so you save for the things that you need to purchase later on. And then the rest of it can go into spend, and they can spend what they want to spend on because they don't have no bills. So if they had bills, the bills would come out of their spend, but that's where it goes. And over time, it didn't take long for them to realize that they just believed and trusted God, right? They'd follow their parents' example. And so when they got a dollar, they'd be like, Daddy, I need you to get me some change because I got to put 10 cents in my God jar, and I got to put 10 cents in my savings jar, and I got to put 80 cents in my jar. And now all three of them have transitioned out of the jars to electronic funds, to debit card and bank accounts.
Aww.
And they all still do this. Matter of fact, one of the highlights of my life this week was getting a call from my oldest daughter and her realizing, she said, Dad, I didn't realize that you were giving me X amount of allowance and you had increased it. I thought it was the old one. So my tithes were automatically set up on the old one. And I just realized that I haven't tithed on my new amount. I need to fix that right away. Can you help me fix it? You know, and that wasn't after me doing it. That was just her doing it. And so that's what it's talking about. It's coming from a place of, I trust God. I know God's good. I have faith in him. And then he says, when you feel like that, you give your tithe, you give your offerings, and I'll show you how good I am. Right. That's what that testing means. It's not the same. The only place in the Bible you see that word used like that is right here. All the rest of the testings are from a negative place. He says, don't test me out of doubt. Right. Don't be trying to coerce me into proving to you that I'm good. When you believe that I'm good, I'll show you even more how good I am, right? That's what that scripture means. It's a profound, profound scripture that we should pay much more attention to in life. It's not about, you don't go and tithe and go, all right, I'm going to see if God's really good and tithe. No, that's not what he's saying. He's saying, you believe that I'm good, you trust that I'm good, and when you do that and you tithe, I will specifically in that show you how extra good I really am. Right. And I will bless you. And my household, my family, we ain't rich. We ain't wealthy. Mm-hmm. Right. But we have been blessed in all kinds of ways. And I think a big piece of that comes back to God just being faithful and meeting our faith with his faithfulness. That's what he's promising. He's promising in there that if you have faith in me, that I will meet that faith, specifically when it comes to money. I will meet that faith with faithfulness. Right. Doesn't mean that you're going to get, you know, Bentley's going to fall out of the sky in your driveway. That's not what it means. And it doesn't mean you get to use the scripture against him either, right? It's just yet another way where God says, I will show you how good I am. When you believe and trust, I'll show you how good I am. When you have faith, I'll meet it with more faithfulness, right? It's a pretty cool scripture. And we've lived this out.
Yeah.
Valerie and I have tithed our entire 25 years of marriage, except for 1 year where I was outside of the church. And I was having a hissy fit, I like to call it. Mm-hmm. But then the minute we went back into church, we tithed on that year that we missed, right? So, we've been leading our kids in all this. And never once have I told my kids, read the Malachi scripture and put God to the test and see if he don't bring you some moment. No, that's not what it is. When you faithfully follow him, he's going to meet you with faithfulness. So, fun question. Love this question.
Yeah, it's a good question.
I'm glad we ended with this question. Right. I really like it. It's been staring at me for a while because this question got asked pretty early on. James, thank you for your question.
Yes, thank you.
We took us a while to get around to it, but we got around to it. So anyway, real good verse. Guys, church gets so weird about this stuff and tries to come up with all kinds of reasons why the tithe is not something that we do now in Jesus in the New Testament. Oh, my gosh. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh. First off, totally unbiblical stance. But secondly, just believe that he's good and trust him.
True.
Right? Just believe that he's good and trust him. Right? He can do so much more with your 10% than you can do with your 90%. Right?
True.
So much more. And I'm just a living testimony of it. Yeah. So anyway, good question. Great verse. Malachi 3:10. It's actually a verse that we all should remember.
You're right.
Right. Because it's just yet another way that God shows you, I am faithful. I am good, you know. So that's all we got. That's the last one, Steph.
Wow.
It's time for dinner.
Yeah, time for dinner. and time for us to figure out what the next series is going to be. Not right now, yeah, but eventually.
Right now, we need to figure out another right now. We figure out how to get up out of here right now.
We out of here.
Because it's 8:20 at night right now while we're recording. So we're done.
Yeah.
We're fried. It's been a long day at work. Then we come up in here and do this again for a couple hours. So we're done.
Crazy.
So some kind of series is coming next. Don't worry. We're going to have one.
Mm-hmm.
So something's coming up. Also, by the way, we might have you a little special episode because Valerie and I are getting an opportunity to go to Indonesia and see the work of Compassion International, and we might do an episode from Indonesia. That'd be pretty cool.
That'd be really cool. I hope y'all get to do that.
Yeah, I think we will. We'll try to. If I remember, half the time I forget stuff like that. So we'll see.
Sure, y'all might be like soaking it up and also super tired. Who knows?
Yeah, I might forget. I don't know. 24 hours on a plane, I might not have no brain. So. That rhymes.
That did rhyme. I was looking at it.
All right, we're done.
He still
That's
got
all
it.
The questions. That's all the questions.
Well, we thank y'all for joining us for this series, and thank you for asking those wonderful questions.
Absolutely.
I learned a lot in this series.
Feel free to ask us questions all the time, because that might spur some series, too. Like the series that we happen to have within this series about work. So that was a pretty cool one, actually.
Yeah. I've said it before. I'm going to take these questions to work. I'm going to take them to work because I'm going to need them to remember.
All right.
That's it for real this time.
Done.
See y'all.
See you later. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for joining us on the Messy Walk podcast with Pastor Adam Cook. Make sure to follow us for future episodes that will be posted regularly each Wednesday. Have a good day.